12-year-old Artemus Fowl is no ordinary boy. With a genius-level intellect and the calculated demeanor of a seasoned criminal, he stands in the sweltering heat of Ho Chi Minh City alongside his imposing bodyguard, Butler. Their target? A fairy sprite who possesses something invaluable, access to the book, the sacred text containing all fairy secrets. Artemis offers her a cruel bargain, 30 minutes with her book in exchange for magical spring water that will save her life. This isn't random cruelty, but part of an elaborate scheme to restore his family's depleted fortune. The Fowls were once criminal royalty until Artemis Sr.'s Russian shipping venture was destroyed by the mafia, leaving him missing and presumed dead. Now young Artemis has taken it upon himself to rebuild what was lost. After photographing every page of the sprite's golden book, they administer both the promised cure and an amnesiac to erase her memory of their encounter. Back at Fowl Manor in Ireland, we glimpse a rare moment of vulnerability as Artemis visits his bedridden mother, Angeline. Once elegant and commanding, she now drifts between lucidity and paranoid delusions. Despite his clinical approach to most matters, Artemis feels an uncharacteristic pang watching her deterioration, our first hint that beneath the calculating exterior beats the heart of a boy who misses his parents. With methodical precision, Artemis tackles the fairy book like a scientific puzzle. After discovering the text must be read in spirals following tiny arrow markers, he reassembles the pages and scans them into a modified translator. Soon, he holds the first legible page, the Book of the People, containing their magics and life rules. The book warns that humans, those in mud that crawl, are forbidden from possessing these secrets. Yet Artemis continues decoding the hidden language of an entire magical civilization, not just for intellectual victory, but for leverage. After 18 hours of sleep, Artemis awakens renewed. He shuts down all computers except the book translation program, even abandoning the CNN feed monitoring news of his father. The fairy gold has become his singular focus, his path to restoration. Where most would be awestruck discovering a magical world beyond human understanding, Artemis sees only opportunity. 3 feet below the surface in Haven City, we meet Captain Holly Short, the first and only female officer in the Leprechaun Unit, Lower Elements Police Reconnaissance. Holly's day is going poorly. Depleted magic, tardiness, and a furious Commander Root. Root emphasizes that as the test case for female officers, Holly must exceed standards, not just meet them. Their conversation is interrupted by a troll emergency in Italy. The creature has surfaced without its invisibility shield. Despite her magical deficiency, Holly claims she's running hot and takes the assignment. Equipped by Foley, a paranoid centaur tech genius wearing a tinfoil hat to block mind reading, Holly travels through magma chutes to the surface. After tracking the destructive troll to a medieval town, she faces a crucial choice. Follow orders to wait for backup or help a screaming child. She chooses to intervene. Haven't we all faced situations where following rules conflicts with doing what feels right? Holly's dilemma resonates because it's fundamentally human, despite her pointy ears and small stature. Why not just take the sprite from Ho Chi Minh City? Butler asks. Artemis explains that fairies who interact with humans become outcasts, worthless as hostages. They need fresh blood with full magical capacity. Holly flies to Ireland, known to fairies as the most magical place on the planet, to perform the ritual that will restore her depleted powers. After security sweeps, she retrieves an acorn from beneath an ancient oak. Artemis and Butler have tracked fairy hotspots for months. When Holly attempts to use the mesmer, hypnotic mind control, Artemis's mirrored sunglasses protect him. Butler's tranquilizer rifle, calibrated for fairy metabolism, finds its mark. The scene unfolds like a perfectly orchestrated hunt, with Artemis as strategist and Butler as executioner. Artemis views Holly merely as the key to fairy gold, unbothered by capturing a sentient being. Extraordinary intelligence doesn't necessarily translate to moral clarity. Artemis's genius makes him dangerous precisely because it enables ruthless efficiency without ethical consideration. Commander Root returns to fieldwork after centuries to lead the LEP response to Holly's capture. Artemis plants a camera in Holly's locator while Butler creates a diversion that leaves Root stranded on a whaling vessel, narrowly escaping an explosion. At Fowl Manor, Holly discovers an acorn in her boot, a potential magic source. Artemis surprises her by speaking gnomish and revealing his gold-stealing plan, though mention of trolls momentarily unsettles him. The LEP establishes a base and deploys their retrieval squad. Lieutenant Cudgeon suggests a blue rinse biobomb that would kill everyone inside, including Holly. Butler efficiently ambushes the approaching fairy squad using Artemis's specialized anti-fairy equipment. This scenario demonstrates classic underestimation. Despite their advanced technology and magic, the fairies dismiss Artemis because he's a human child, a reminder that we often judge capabilities by appearances rather than actions. During the siege, Lieutenant Cudgeon stages a coup and releases a captured troll into Fowl Manor to force surrender. Holly escapes her cell, plants her acorn to restore her magic, and meets Mulch Diggums, a dwarf criminal infiltrating the manor, who shows her Artemis's copy of the book. The 16-foot troll severely injures Butler, despite his resistance. When it threatens Juliet, Holly intervenes despite being kidnapped, injuring her knee and accidentally triggering her damaged helmet to blast intense light into the creature's eyes. As Holly loses consciousness, her healing magic flows into Butler, completely restoring him. Rejuvenated, Butler dons medieval armor, attacks the troll with a mace, and spares its life when Holly reminds him, "You owe me." This moment transforms the story's moral landscape. Holly's choice to save her captors blurs the lines between hero and villain, suggesting no one is beyond redemption, as Artemis questions the ethics of ransoming someone who saved their lives. Artemis delivers his ultimatum to Commander Root, the gold for Holly's life before the biobomb detonates. Despite Root's insistence that escaping a time field is impossible, Artemis remains confident. After political maneuvering, Root delivers the gold while the bomb countdown continues. Holly confronts Artemis about hiding the deadly threat from his companions. The bomb detonates, filling Fowl Manor with blue light that kills all living things inside. When LEP forces enter to recover the gold, they experience magical nausea, a reaction that only occurs when the dwelling's owner still lives. Artemis later reveals his solution. He drugged everyone with sleeping pills, deducing that consciousness kept them trapped in the time field. The loft door opens to reveal Artemis's mother, now healed by fairy magic that flowed through the manor during the time stop. Angeline embraces her son, resuming her maternal role. Artemis realizes he's truly a boy again under a mother's care. At school, Artemis remains determined to find his father despite official death declarations. When Butler arrives with news about his father's ship, Artemis's journey shifts from greed to family restoration.